Now we're going to go into Luke 2, verse 21 through 40. Luke 2, 21 through 40. We are finishing up on the Christmas story with the events that the couple had to go through because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now that's rare in those days. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now, depart in peace means to go home. Needs to go home. And now he was ready to go home because he saw the Messiah. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. Now that's rare to hear of a prophetess in Scripture. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So that says that she was a widow for a very long time, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Boy, there's a lot in that, isn't there? But you know, in our first three lessons, we learned of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and also of the angelic announcement to the shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. Now, most likely, I would say the shepherds were astounded. Wouldn't you be? The angel said, "Fear not," as the usual thing angels do, because the whole sky was filled with the glory of God. And they learned that the babe was in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was a very, very unique, unusual location for babies to be born. Now, the rest of Luke chapter 2 describes the important incidents in the early life of Jesus Christ. Now, when I say the early life of Jesus Christ, the first 6-8 weeks, it doesn't include their return to Nazareth, because there is a break in there that they must go back to Bethlehem to meet the Magi. And that's not given in Luke. And then also they're told to go to Egypt to flee Herod's command to kill the babies, I believe 2 years old and under. So that's not in Luke, but it's in Matthew. And so these verses, they focus, of course, on the events that take place in the life of Jesus that are commanded in Scripture. For Jesus kept the law perfectly, even though he was a babe. But it also focuses on two characters in the temple, Simeon and Anna. Now, Simeon and Anna publicly praise God for this, and they proclaim the good news to those who are looking for the fulfillment of God's promises to his people Israel. How many times in the scripture? The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. When's the Messiah coming? And they're looking for a Messiah. Now, we always picture something that's been told to us as coming in our own mind as to how they come. Now, do you suppose anyone pictured that the Messiah would come in a trough, an animal feeding trough? Nobody would. That's God's way. If you think it, that's not the way it's going to be. You know, if you think it, that's not the way it's going to be. But three ceremonies take place in the passage of Luke 2, which we have just read. And when we read passages in the Bible, we many times find that much is accomplished and much time may pass in just a few words. And we see that in this passage where they are going back to Nazareth with no mention, as I said, of the events that take place that are recorded in Matthew. Now, so we need to rightly divide. You know, there's a lot of controversy about that, because they say, you know, there's a conflict in Scripture where Luke doesn't say anything about them going back to Bethlehem. It just says they go to Galilee. So there's, you know, don't get involved in controversy. Get involved in knowing the Scriptures of what you know. You know, there's people that are always getting in controversy. I don't care about your controversy. You know, the Bible talks about that. Watch it when you're getting involved in all these little nitinoy things in the Scriptures, or you think are in the Scriptures. Walk away. But anyway, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's just so easy to know that Matthew recorded them coming, receiving the Magi, and also going to Egypt. So put that in Luke, and you complete the message. Now, the first ceremony is that of circumcision, referred to in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now, that's when a child, a man child in Israel is named. And he's not named before, he's named after the 8th day when he's circumcised. Now remember that Jesus was not named by Joseph and Mary, but an angel said his name is Jesus. So this event, most likely I would say, took place where Mary and Joseph finally found a place to live. They were in the manger, and we were told that when the Magi came, they were in a house. So hopefully, at this time, they were in that house, and at that time in Bethlehem, Jesus was circumcised. I think this mirrors what took place with John the Baptist. Now, it took place on the 8th day, as prescribed by God in the Old Testament, who directed Abraham, and as prescribed by the law of Moses. Now listen to this in Leviticus 12:3. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which he shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in the house, and so on. So they go through all the requirements in the Jewish house for this act to take place. Now, what is it? It's an acceptance of the covenant of God that God made with Abraham to raise up a great nation. Now, talk about the Jews and how married they are to the land. Why are they married to the land? Because of this covenant. So it was a foundational promise to make of him a great nation. It was to give his descendants a specific land, Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and bless all people on earth through him. Now, in 1948, Israel was declared a Jewish state. But it's unbelieving. It's unbelieving. Now, when will it be believing? It will be believing when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes. And there will be Jews flocking in from all over the earth that were converted through the 144,000 that are witnesses in the tribulation. So, circumcision was a mark. Each male was to have the physical sign of circumcision, establishing an enduring, unconditional relationship between God and Abraham's lineage. Now, it was a sign for the individual who received this at 8 days, who lived with it his whole life. It was a sign of the covenant. He knew that he was part of the covenant. Now, it's interesting that God's sign of this relationship compared to the sign of the Antichrist is one of visibility. The Antichrist puts a mark on the forehead or the hand, but God chooses a hidden place. So only the person who has this mark and God know of this covenant relationship. Now, I'll not go into circumcision in detail, but to say this, Abraham's circumcision is not the same as modern medicine's way. That's interesting. We're so used to modernism. But if you look into Jews' circumcision, it was not the same. It was a relatively minor circumcision procedure. Now, parents ought to look into this because you have a choice when you have a baby boy come in whether or not you want to do this procedure. But it is done by a mohel. I think it's spelled M-O-H-E-L, mohel. Usually a trained rabbi who is associated with the Jewish synagogue. And also, it is interesting to note that it was done on the eighth day. Why the eighth day? Well, some say because 7 days is a week and so on. But it's interesting to know that modern medicine tells us it is a day where the peak of vitamin K occurs for blood clotting and less developed nerve endings, thereby reducing pain. Now, that's modern medicine that tells us on the eighth day that there's a better chance of blood clotting. God created all of us. We know what's going on. He knows what's going on. Now, so also, of course, I said, as associated with the circumcision, the name was given. Then after the circumcision, the presentation of the firstborn son is the second ceremony recorded by Luke. Now, the son is taken to the temple, and as a requirement of the law, it was taken to the temple to present to the temple. And as it is written, this is in Numbers, maybe Exodus. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, there is a further scripture that talks about the firstborn, and it has a connection to the firstborn when the Jews were taken out of Egypt, and we'll get into that. And here it is in Exodus 13, 1 through 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. So in some verses, it says every male, but here it says the firstborn. So you have to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to study. You know, you have to study to get the truth. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this, of course, had to do with the plagues in Egypt as the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt way back a long time, where all the firstborn of Egypt were slain, even including the firstborn animals. Now, what did the Jews have to do to keep God from slaying their firstborn? They had to put blood on the side posts and on the top and on the other side post. Blood. Blood is always in the Bible. Blood. What does it talk about in the Bible? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's God's rules. Why did he do that? I can't understand that. Who cares what you can't understand? Understand the scriptures. And it's a rule that God has established without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus Christ proved that. Jesus Christ said to the, did he say to the Father, why do I have to do this? No, he didn't say to the Father, why do I have to do this? He knew he had to do this. He had to become a man to shed his blood for us. Now, while the firstborn of the Israelites, those who applied the blood of the Passover lamb to their doors, lived. I said, just said that, and I read it, but I wrote it, but I said it before. I'm sorry. The firstborn was spared by God, and thus God declared that the firstborn belonged to him. So, now, not only the firstborns were circumcised, but all males were circumcised. But the firstborn were declared to be God's. Now, the redemption price for a firstborn male Israelite, a month or more old, was set at 5 sanctuary shekels in Numbers 18:16. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shall thou redeem according to thine estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. That helps. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. So money was required in this process. And thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, you look online, and you really can't get a good understanding of what 5 shekels were worth in those days. But there's information as to 5 shekels being worth one day's work. Of a laborer, or maybe even 3. Now, so 5 shekels for this couple from Nazareth was quite a lot of money. But they knew that they had to go through this process, so I think that they brought that in addition to their taxes. Now, apparently, preservation of the firstborn never occurred earlier than 30 to 31 days after birth. And this had to do with the readiness of the mother to present the child to the Lord, for her days of purification had to also pass. She was unclean. It was declared that a woman who had a child was unclean, and she had to wait that time before she presented the child to the Lord. So that third ceremony was the purification of Mary, required by the law after the birth of a child. You know, just reading that sentence reminds me that all of Israel lived under this law. What do we live under? We live under the Constitution made by man. Now, of course, the Constitution made by man has biblical ramifications, but they lived in a land where the law was given to them by God. What a difference that is. So, the third ceremony is the purification of Mary. Leviticus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So the next thing is about a maid child. It says maid, a woman, a female. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. So that's 66 days plus 14 days, 80 days. So it's different, 40 days for a male and 80 days for a female. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Wow. Isn't that amazing to live under that kind of a law system, even going down into the details of the purification of a woman? So, 40 days, 80 days. So by the time they brought Jesus to the temple, it was probably about 6 weeks. 6 weeks, he was circumcised at 8 days, and he was brought to the temple at 6 weeks. And of course, they were they brought two either pigeons, I don't remember if it's either pigeons or turtle doves, for the sacrifice, because they were too poor to bring a lamb. Now, it is the second ceremony, the presentation of Jesus at the temple, which is the most prominent in Luke's account, because it now involves Simeon and Anna. These two people that were at the temple, and Simeon was basically directed there by the Holy Spirit. And he was in the temple at times, and Anna was there all the time. So it was at, Now, I was just talking about the name Jesus was, this is kind of a little insert. But the name Jesus, of course, is Joshua and Joshua. And even in Mexico, they name people Jesus. Now, we name people Joshua, but that's the name. And it's a combination of two root words, the Lord and to save. So his name indicates that he is the Lord's salvation. Isn't that wonderful that God even gave him a name that tells us that he's the Lord's salvation? You know, I love that verse in Acts 4:12, and I've talked to people about that, because they come up and say, "I can't believe that Jesus, that you believe that he is the only Savior." You know, all of the religions in the world, and you have the only Savior. Well, Acts 4:12, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, I was talking to, texting Lian over there in Myanmar, and he sent me pictures of a group of
I would call them Burmese. They used to be Burma. And he sent me a picture of a group of Burmese. They were, the adults were on this side and the little children were over here. And he and his wife were standing on the left, and he was in one of those skirts. You know, they wear, the men there wear skirts at times. And they had gathered these people to give them clothes. And another picture that he sent, he had gathered the people to give them food. And he was preaching to them as he gave them these gifts. They were poor people. And Leon deals with a lot of poor people. He goes into their nipa huts, and he goes into these nipa huts that has church services there. But here's a man that's so faithful in giving to people all the way over on the other side of the world and presenting the fact in that religious area. I'm not sure if Burma is. Do you know if Burma is Muslim?
There is some Muslim there, but it's a mixture of several religions.
Yeah, the mixture of the Buddha.
There's a lot of Buddhists.
Buddhists. But here he is proclaiming the name of Jesus as the only Savior. Only Savior. And that's the message that you proclaim. Only Savior. Now, Simeon says, when he holds the baby in his arms, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a gift he had from God. The Holy Spirit told him, go to the temple. Why? Go to the temple. Didn't ask why. Go to the temple. And at the temple, Mary and Joseph come in to the temple area, and now his eyes have seen his salvation. So both Simeon and Anna appear, and they speak words of divine inspiration, identifying the Christ child as God's Messiah. Now, Simeon is a man that is something like Melchizedek, for he just appears in Scripture out of nowhere. There's no other reference to Simeon. So we're told very little about Simeon, except he is a godly man, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. And I told you, that was not normal in those days. The Holy Ghost came upon people for work, for things to do at a particular time. And Simeon was given the information about the coming of the Messiah. Now, we also are told that Anna was a prophetess from the tribe of Asher, but we are not given what tribe Simeon was from. So Anna, that's an interesting word that in the New Testament, because you don't see prophetess much in the New Testament. There are words in the Old Testament of prophetess, and I'm not sure exactly what that meant. It could have meant that she even preached. But she's called a prophetess, and she's given the tribe of where she is, but Simeon is not. We don't know anything about Simeon's family, whether he was married, whether he had any children. We are told nothing about his occupation. There is no indication that he was a priest. It doesn't say that he was a priest, but he spent a lot of time at the temple. And of course, I said he was directed by the Holy Spirit to go there for that particular day. So we're told certain things about Simeon, not much about anything else. And that's what God wants us to know. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now that's where that idea comes, that it goes against what was told in Matthew about them being in Bethlehem for the visit of the Magi, and also the declaration by Herod that the babies would be killed, so they were to flee to Egypt. Now, they were in Egypt until Herod died, and then they went back to Nazareth. So there was a big time space right in here that's not given to us by Luke. Why not? I don't know, but that's the way it was. All right, we're going to stop there. Thank you so much for your kind attention. And for our visitors, we do pray for you as you travel. You know, everybody's traveling today. Going what? To and fro. Who said that? Daniel. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this time together. We thank you for giving me the lesson to proclaim. And I pray that people have learned something here and that they know the scriptures better than they did before. Thank you so much, Father, for this. And do bless Pastor Todd as he comes and give us the message from the Word of God, and help us to listen and to be careful in learning something from him as he preaches the Word. And we pray for these that are traveling not very far and then far overseas. We pray that they would be safe and sound as they travel all of these many miles, and that when they get to their ministry, that they would see to it that people are given the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.